Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Business Psychic Hour. Today we're continuing our discussion on the dichotomy of the inner voice and taking your calls for on-air readings. We have several callers in the queue, so we're going to be taking calls right away. Callers, all of you will be getting a reading, so do hold your place in line. 647 is first, 678, and then 774. So hang tight. We will be getting to each one of you today. The number to call, 914-338-0164. And please do join us on Facebook and on Twitter. And we are also taking show suggestions. I posted on the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour page on, I don't know, Tuesday or something. But we would love more responses than we've gotten thus far. So please do share your suggestions for topic ideas. We really, really appreciate it. Again, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, and press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Press 1, you guys, 678 and 774 have not pressed 1. And I'm guessing they're not just listening. 678, if you want a reading, press 1. Okay, 647 is first. Hello.
Hi, this is Paul from Toronto. My question is, I'm in a junction point of decisions. One is to move out or not, and the other is to pursue winning the lottery and at the same time pursue my spiritual interest or just full-fledgedly pursue my spiritual interest and don't even care about the lottery.
Paul, what, and you're from Toronto, you're Canada?
Canada? Yeah.
Okay. What's your birthday, Paul?
August 19, 1987.
Your master number and karmic number equate to a spiritual number, 7. So the fact that you're talking to us about spiritual interests fits right in with what you should be doing to actualize your numbers. I mean, you have other numbers in your birthday. You also have a 7. But given the master number, what you're saying to us is reflective of that master number. As far as winning, pursuing the lottery, I mean, I don't think we'd recommend that to anyone. Yes, some people are lucky and they win, but winning the lottery is not a goal that's really, I don't think it's a good goal. Neil, you might have another idea.
Well, Paul, I think your deeper dilemma is the reasoning behind moving out. And if you're not happy where you're at, you know, it feels to me like in moving out, you probably have a conversation in your mind, whether you really want to or need to, or whether it's, you know, how much hardship it's going to be if you're not really happy there. I think that's your biggest dilemma. Do you want to move? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to move here?
I want to move 10, but there's I have low income and I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, so, that's what I thought. I thought that might be an income problem.
Where are you? Are you living with your parents?
I'm living with my parents, yeah.
Well,
and there's a lot of control going on.
Are you in a place where you can't work? Do you have any kind of handicap or difficulty?
I have anxiety, and I have I know how to process my anxiety, but I just feel, and I have low confidence with work. With spiritual things, I don't have low confidence. I could emanate love in a high fashion and spread it to infinite universes. I could do things confidently with my spiritualism, but I can't do it confidently with just a job or something like that.
Yeah. Paul, if your main interests are in spirituality, there may be groups that are spiritual groups that also offer services where you can be paid for doing work with them. Maybe you give readings, maybe you give guidance, maybe you form a spiritual group for people who have anxiety and how to deal with that on a spiritual level. I mean, those may be ways to generate some income in an area where you might feel more confident. I mean, we wish you the most with your lottery. I don't predict lotteries, whether someone's going to win it or not. That's just not what we do. But I think your problem, you have a physical problem in terms of moving. You have a mental problem in terms of your anxiety.
Confident.
You have a spiritual awareness that peaks the problems. So I understand you may not be conditioned right now to work conventionally, but I would say that there may be a way for you to explore spiritual groups that offer services where people get paid. And that might be your answer. You're right now at a very difficult, you're 31 years old. So you're sort of in a difficult position, Paul. I mean, there's a lot of hope on the way. You have a very strong energy field in terms of power and spirituality in your birthday.
The number systems, I mean, you have good numbers in your birth date. But, you know, something I was thinking too, I mean, people go live on a kibbutz. I mean, that's in Israel. But there are places in the United States, such as monasteries or, you know, Buddhist monasteries where you can live and work. If you're not, maybe not necessarily Buddhist, but there are places, well, he's not in the United States, but Canada or in the U.S., which you're adjacent to, where you can live and work, places like that, and you'd have time to, you know, develop, your meditation skills, things like that. So I would look into that. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that might be.
Because he's looking for a place to live, and he's, you know, what's happening in your home? I mean, are you having strife with your
There's
parents?
Lot of control. I'm forced to be on psychiatry medicine. This control of my actions, lots of stuff. They're resistant, but I'm dealing it. My vibration's still up there, even though I'm on psychiatry medicine, and even though I have a controlling family, I still keep my vibration up there. But
they want to keep
one thing
you at
I was.
Do they want to keep you at home?
Yeah, they want to keep me at home. They're well-intentioned. They're good people. Just there is a lot of control. They don't even recognize they're controlling. In terms of earning income, I'm pursuing learning to channel. And I've been told I could be a high-caliber channel, and I'm pursuing that as well. And I'm a good writer as well.
Paul, your vibration, I agree. You have a vibrational energy in your presentation and in your voice.
It's powerful.
That I get it. I think you do have a gift.
Let me just say that Neil wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. So that's, I mean, you know, he doesn't just, arbitrarily compliment people in that regard.
Yeah, I think you do have something going here, Paul, and you sound like a really intelligent guy. I think the maneuver, and you know, with that, with the medications and the problems involved, I think your maneuver should be somewhat. You got to just level yourself off and not have a lot of anxiety in terms of the way that you might find your journey getting closer to being a channeler, honey, and be independent. Maybe have a one-bedroom apartment. You live by yourself. And being controlled with the medication so that it keeps your brain a little bit centered. And you could become a channeler. You sound very intelligent. You receive our questions well. You talk fluently. You sound like you have a little bit of a, you know, anxiety in your voice, or you might have some breathing or something going on. But I see a vibration in your voice. I get a vibration. And that's more powerful than whatever obstacles you have in your anxiety level of you know, talking or thinking.
I guess the only other thing I'd say is jumping right into doing spiritual work. He's not making any money right now, and then, you know, immediately generating income from doing channeling or readings or whatever. There needs to be a bridge between that. You know, on a practical, physical level, I think that if you want to make money, you've got to find a job to generate money in the, you know.
Maybe, unless you start to develop your channeling at home where you are on Blog Talk or whatever radio show or something.
Oh, yeah, you can start a radio
where
show.
Where you can, if you have the capabilities, open up your own radio show and charge something for readings, you know, 20, 25 bucks for a 15-minute reading.
True,
or something.
That's a good idea.
You can start to do that. I mean, I would hope that your parents wouldn't obstruct you from that.
Would they obstruct you from that?
I don't think so.
No. And then,
the other thing that I was thinking, and I don't know if it's a good idea, I do get ODSP disability funds, $1,100. But I'm not a good spender either. But in my mind, sometimes I overly estimate my abilities. I know I have it in myself to manage money like a pro, but I don't know if that will pan out if I move out.
No, it will, Paul. Paul, don't worry about that right now. Don't worry. You know, I get it. You mismanage money and you spend, and maybe that compensates for your life feeling confined or whatever. So you spend a little bit and you have hobbies. Don't worry about that right now. That can come later. You're only 31. So, I mean, by the time you have, you'll learn to manage your money, but I think that will come with your confidence. And don't worry about your abilities right now. Do 15-minute readings and charge 25 bucks. You know, and just make it small so you don't get overwhelmed. Give them a clear message, and you charge 25 bucks for 15 minutes and start to develop that. You probably are pretty good at the computer. You know how to operate it. So, start there, Paul. And keep in touch with us.
And since you have that disability money coming in, which you didn't inform us of, you know, you can still look at, if you want to get out of your parents' house, there are places that you might be able to, you know, go.
They control the funds.
I'm sorry? Oh, they control the funds. Well, then go with the idea of doing the Blog Talk Radio thing.
Do you have any neurological condition? Do you have any shaking or any brain pattern thing?
A channeler once told me I have zolts that come, some sort of zolts that keep me off kilter sometimes.
Okay.
And he suggested CBD oil for that, the capsules.
Well,
you can do great work, Paul, if you just take it calmly. Follow our suggestion and see how that pans out.
And the lucky thing is that your parents want you at home. So it's not like you may feel the pressure of getting out of the house, but they, you know, you can start to do these things while you're living there without any pressure to leave. You know, you're not in a mad dash to escape, you know, as far as their pressure. They want you there. So
Start the blog talk readings. Go on air and talk a little bit. Offer to do private readings for $25 for 15 minutes that you'll channel, something like that.
Or maybe 25 for 30 minutes. I mean, like 15 that. Minutes is, you know,
but
he's just starting out.
30 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, whatever.
For $30 for 30 minutes.
Maybe something like that,
yeah.
Paul.
And, the beginning.
And start off there.
And keep in touch with us. Well, go ahead.
I've been told that if you emanate an abundance vibration, abundance will come to you, like the tingling sensation within your body and your energy body. So on December 23rd, I really was vibrating high, and like I was emanating love in abundance of the highest order to infinite universes. Like there was never that much intensity that I had ever. And I'm flowing like that right now, but I want to figure out how to vibrate like that, because the vibration...
That might take a little time, but start off on the first step right now before you start dashing over to that.
And you can follow us, you can like our page, and you know, keep in touch with us. We've got to move on to the next caller, Paul, but we appreciate your call today and wish you luck, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay. 914-338-0164 is the caller number, and 678 is our next caller. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being so patient.
No problem. I enjoy listening.
Good. That's good to hear. What's your name?
My name is Sophia.
PH or F?
PH.
Okay. Where are you calling from, Sophia?
Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia on your mind. Okay. And what brings you to our show?
Yes, it has. It's been a while, but yeah.
Oh, we have talked to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I didn't remember. Okay.
Well, okay. I would just like to get some insight, kind of guidance, in reference to career and entrepreneurship. I was recently talked to this week at my job about a new position they're creating that would be a promotion for me. So my boss was asking me if I wanted it. So I expressed, you know, of course I would want it if it comes to, you know, fruition anytime soon. But at the same time, I've also been contemplating if it's time for me to move on to another company. So either stay where I'm at, take this promotion and stay where I'm at, or if it's time to move on to another company, all while starting my own business on the side.
My own business on the side. You know, I just want to say something about Sophia. She has a great voice. Like her... you know, a great speaking voice.
Yeah, well, you know, people from Georgia, they're born storytellers. They're great at
oration. Orating?
Yeah.
You know, you guys told me this last time, too.
Really?
Yeah, no kidding. That's the first thing I thought about when I saw you were on today. I'm off today, obviously. And I said, let me call into him. I enjoyed the last time. It's been a very long time. That's probably why.
Yeah, and I don't even remember the call.
I definitely remember that.
I don't remember how usually
yeah,
I do
there's
remember.
There's a great writer, Dora Welty, who she's passed on, but she was a great writer, very rich, colorful writer. And you kind of have a rich voice like her. That comes with history, and that comes with the vocal cords and experience and all that. But anyways, can we get your birthday?
Yeah.
Sure. It is 11/25/72.
I mean, it's not only the voice, but it's the inflection of the voice, how it, you know, there's, you know, a musicality. So anyway, 11/25/72, 5/6/7/8/9/19/29/11/2, 28/10/1, what you have?
28/10/1.
And you are turning 47 this year, correct?
Yes, correct.
47.
46 now.
Times two. Okay.
How long have you been working at your job?
It's been, let's see, last month was 3 years for me.
What type of work is it that you do?
I am into import-export compliance, U.S. Customs compliance, but for importers.
So I was feeling that with you there was something about shipping or traveling. I couldn't figure it out. So that's the circle I'm in, the expert import.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right off the bat, Kristen can give you her ideas. Right off the bat, I would say to take the promotion.
Stay at the job.
And develop your own business at the same time. You can always do that on the side. What's your business you want to do?
Starting out with small local retreats here to just detach.
Spiritual work?
I would include some maybe on the side, but my main focus right now is just giving people a sacred space to detach, just to get away from the busy city here in Atlanta to do nothing. I'll do spirit hikes, and, of course,
yeah,
I'll have a circle, but most of the time I don't want to give them a lot of itinerary, just like I said, to detach and be.
Yeah, you got to be careful with licenses and lawsuits and protection.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of that. But if you get through that and you can arrange a small group and you have a facility that is licensed for such a thing, that's fine. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, Sophia. So that's always a pursuit you can do. That's one hand. The other hand, I would
or
say,
either I'm renting the property myself, even if it's just a cabin.
So you would need to have the proper insurance because obviously there's liability when you have the property. So that's, obviously an investment as well. It's going to take some money to
be
properly.
Yeah, you got to be real careful of those things because you don't know if somebody might overdose or commit suicide or
trip and fall.
There's
all kinds of things that can happen.
It's a nice pastoral idea and it sounds like, get away. Here's a place where you can just be yourself and maybe there's some kind of repertoire or criteria or something that you can manage to keep people occupied. Nothing wrong with that. But in the course of your other physical question, do I move on to another business or stay? My psychic opinion, maybe Kristen's too, it seems like, stay and get that promotion and stay there for at least maybe another year or two.
So just real quick, if you
that's what I had in mind as far as if I stayed, it would definitely be a year or two. So thanks for that.
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kristen.
No, that's quite all right. Just curious what you would have done if you changed jobs. I'm just,
I would have stayed in the same field. It just would have been a different company.
And it's a private company that you work for? I mean, why not take the promotion? It sounds like there's going to be more money. You're secure there. And if you're trying to start something new with your personal business.
To be honest, I kind of had to kick and scream to get this presented to me. I was very much overworked for the past 2 years. I almost borderline had a stroke because I was so burnt out and overworked. They did finally decide to hire me someone. Not that they didn't care all along, they did. It just wasn't on the forefront. And to be honest, my boss wasn't very transparent about it until one of the executives took me to lunch one day. We were out and about, and I didn't mean to do it, but we were having a good time at lunch, and I just let it loose, and I told him I was getting ready to quit with no job. And he turned red from head to neck and was like, "What's going on?" And I told him, and he was never aware. He said, "Oh, my God, I knew you were breaking records, and I knew, but I never knew you had all of that on your plate." He was a little disappointed that I had allowed it to physically affect me before I even, because I didn't want to go above my boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they got me help. So they did hire me someone, but my boss brought this person in, and this is nothing against her. It has nothing to do with her personally. He brought this person in, gave her the same title that he'd just given me in 6 months. I started out as a coordinator. However, I've always done the specialized work because I had experience in it. So pretty much I always ran the operational. He gave me the specialist title maybe 6 months before I just stroked out. But he brought this new person in, gave her the same title, nowhere near the same experience or knowledge. And that just didn't feel good, you know. I don't feel he did it intentionally. He really thought he was helping me. But, no, you shouldn't have brought this person in at equal stature and gave them the same thing you gave me. And they're nowhere near. Actually, we're struggling a little bit because she's so inexperienced. So this is what they're doing to make up for, you know, yeah. And even the executive told my boss at the time, no, why did you do it that way? You know, even HR was like, that's a no-no. You didn't think about that? So I don't think he did it intentionally. He really thought he was helping.
So they're remedying it somewhat by promoting you to another position. I think the problem is if you move to a different job and then you're trying to start this retreat center idea, it's going to be too much all at once. So you're securing your job now. You're getting a promotion. I imagine it's,
yeah.
It's going to be
again. This is not a center. I'm not doing
it's
a center.
Be a,
yeah.
Well, no, we understand what you're doing, but the idea is that you're having retreats, and so the idea again, it's a new venture, and if you're starting a new job and trying to do the new venture, it's going to confuse things. I think you're
that
getting
feels,
a raise.
That feels
you're
good.
Getting,
what you're saying.
You're getting a raise at this job, at this promotion.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, yeah. They created this position. It didn't even exist. It's something they're creating. Yeah.
They're making that for you. Definitely stay and you know, go forward with your other idea too. I mean, I think that's the best advice we can give. We have to move on to other callers, but.
Yeah.
We thank you for getting in touch, Sophia, and you can join
thank
us.
Thank you. You both were so helpful. You even brought up things I hadn't thought about, I think, in
that's
reference
great.
To my business on the side. But that was very helpful. Thank
great.
You.
Great. We're so glad. And please follow us. Join our pages. We'd appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Which reminds me, I've got to try to post today. Facebook was having a problem. It wasn't allowing posting on Wednesday. So unfortunately, we couldn't post. Hi, who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is this? Who is this?
Am I on?
Is this Anshul?
Am I online?
You are.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Hey, do you hear any beep sound?
You were supposed to call us like in a week last time, and you didn't call and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't finish my assignment, so I didn't call after. I called up two people whom I had earlier discussed for an opportunity. I called them up. I waited, but nothing turned up.
Nothing
and even,
happened.
I found that the response was also not very kind of encouraging.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. So you're still in the same boat as you were last time you called.
Yeah. I have called one more person. I sent my
you have
CV.
What?
I called up another person, third person, I would say. So I shared my profile or resume with him. Now I don't know how long it will take to get some kind of interview done.
Okay. And what are you doing right now for work?
I am into project management in petroleum sector.
So you are working.
Yeah, working.
You need something closer to home, right?
It's quite far away.
Well, you know, you're having some. So what we're running into here
major problem.
is getting you transitioned to a job closer to your family, and we're having some problems in there. I mean, you're still working, you're making a living, you're paying your bills, but you were not hitting that ideal place. So you're probably on a grade point average. You're living in a place that feels like a B, and you want to move up to an A, which is a job closer to your family. And isn't your wife a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do, Enzo. Let us, Chris and I, try to work on this maybe a little bit later today between the two of us, because I'm going to I'm going to, what we're going to do is we're going to try to see if we can do a little bit of energy work to get you closer to home with an equivalently paying job. What kind of salary are you looking for should you move there? What range salary?
Even what I am getting, and if I am close home, it's much better.
If you're much better. So is that over $100,000 in American dollar or under?
Much less than that.
Much less than that. So, okay. So, and your children, how old are your children?
I have their birthday.
My daughter is about to be 15, and my son is 11.
Okay, now the son that's 11, have you bought him recently any gifts, any presents?
No.
No?
Have you bought him anything aside from, like, you know, normal?
That was about a month back, I think.
Would you buy?
I bought some puzzle game for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Okay, so that's all I need to know. We're going to try to work on you getting a job closer to home, somewhere maybe within 25 miles or less. And see if we can get that going for you so that you can be closer to home. I know you've been calling us for quite a while now, trying to arrange. and it doesn't sound like we're trying to move mountains or get to the moon. It's just finding work within the vicinity of your home within 25 miles, I would say would be reasonable. You know, there's apparently something, maybe there's some karma going on or something. I'm not sure. It could be. How long has it been since you've been working near your home? How many years now?
Now it's more than 2 years, around 2.5 now.
Okay. Well, let's say that as soon as possible, but within 6 months, but as soon as possible, you're going to be moving back home and with a job. And we're going to try to see if this pending job is going to pan through. But I'll tell you this, maybe Kristen has some ideas, but if by October, if not before, but no later than October, I see you back home. If not before.
Oh, that also sounds so good.
Yeah. So let's go with that and keep in touch with us, and we promise we'll work
on
it.
Okay, good
luck.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, we have some time to talk.
Oh, okay.
So, because we lost one of our callers, but where did we leave off? I mean, really, we only got into the introductory area about the inner voice, and we were talking about where it originates from and, you know, the psychological inner voice, you know, the definition versus the inner voice of the soul.
Yeah. And that dichotomy, right?
Well, yeah, we didn't even get into the dichotomy because we were getting into the definition, which is good because we have a little time. Regarding the dichotomy of the inner voice, what sometimes happens is people think they're hearing their inner voice and are guided by their inner voice, but unfortunately, we have another caller, but unfortunately, it's more of the ego's voice directing them. And it's not, the ego isn't bad. We're not defining the ego as bad, but getting in touch with that higher voice is more difficult than people may realize.
Well, there is a problem in the raw material interpretation of listening to the inner voice and considering the dichotomy of that inner voice. And that is, for those who believe, the content of karma in past life that's enmeshed in the consciousness of one's being. So a lot of times what we feel we are responding to on the immediate stage of life, our physical stage of life, is really a manifestation and a continuation of past life energies that have brought us here in the first place. So when we hear these diverse voices in our head, shy of being schizophrenic, when we hear these diverse voices in our head, we're hearing the voices from our past. We're hearing the tongues and dialogue, dialects, and all branches of the evolving voice in terms of who we've been, what we've done. And all of that comes on into the mainstream of our consciousness, with or without our awareness, it's going to be there. And then that becomes part of the inner voice energy that oftentimes confuses the rational mind.
Right. You know, I just want to say, I know someone who said that they named themselves, they changed their name to their the name of their higher self. So, I mean, your higher self, it doesn't have a name. It's like that is that has nothing to do with the inner voice or the higher self. You don't name your higher self.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Or, you know, there are examples of people who, you know, go forward with action that they say is directed by their higher voice. And 3 months later, they're dismantling that and saying, no, this was not intention. You know, this is not what we intended. We're not doing this now. I mean, so if you're acting on the advice of an inner voice, then your actions are going to be grounded, stable, and aren't going to be erratic in that regard.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me, I wrote this book, and in the midst of the book, there's a talking dog that, don't ask, it's just a talking dog in the midst of...
Well, you had a talking dog, actually.
I had a talking dog.
In real life.
But in the middle of the book, the dog decides to change it, his name to a female name, and so the dog changes its name, his name to a female name, and changes, thereby alters its consciousness, and starts to talk about the past lives that it's had and things like that. So when you get into the idea that we transform through life, I mean, look at the people who transform themselves in the world.
Well,
even if you look at the Beatles, look how they transform.
Yeah, themselves. And there's a lot of, you know, the alter egos, which in like popular culture, people have alter egos. And I mean, that gets into a whole different discussion, which we won't get into.
Yeah, people evolve. I mean, people evolve and they make dramatic changes throughout life. And they make dramatic changes. And that's just the surface.
There are also other reasons for that, too. I mean, people talk about programming
reasons.
And, you know, all this kind of stuff that gets into, you know, people that are in the spotlight.
But
we
transform ourselves on the immediate stage of existence. We constantly transform ourselves. You know, I just
and we're going to be getting to 267 in just a minute. But
I just saw Joe Namath, who used to be a great football player. Now he's on TV advertising, I don't know, life insurance or something, and he looks kind of frail and skinny. You would never recognize him. But here's a person who's transformed himself into something else that is different than what he was. Football star to selling, you know, info commercials for different products. So that's a superficial thing. When we go into a great transformation of energy, even our last caller, Sophia, who wants to, you know, go from export import business to having a home, a retreat home, to relax and to get stress free. I mean, that's a small evolving dichotomy
of
energy.
And there's nothing wrong with evolving. It's a natural process of life. We all evolve.
We do.
I mean, it's part of the progression.
We do. But the way you have to extract yourself from one conversation you may have about your world and who you are. And when you're about to make an evolving change, one of the most intriguing factors of a change is to examine why you were making that change, because a lot of it is to regroup, you know, she's talking about a regroup retreat center. Well, you also regroup with your past selves, your past life experiences, and you regroup and you bring them back into, she even used the word fruition, you bring them back into the energy field of who you are, so that you have this assemblage of diverse past lives merging onto one stage, and thereby the economy becomes an absolute wholeness. And usually when you have a wholeness, you cannot have a wholeness without parts combining into a wholeness. When we get to the wholeness, we're getting to the epitome of the evolving stage.
Well, but the confusion can come from trying to merge those past lives into a wholeness. And when you have past lives that may have more darkness in them than other past lives, sometimes it's challenging to create that balance and harmony in the wholeness.
It is, you know, people, oh, I want to do this. I've got these great ideas, but, you know, I'm going through this divorce right now, or I'm going through this problem, this health problem right now, and I can't get to it. I can't focus. I can't concentrate. There's a diversity. There's a dichotomy where the mind is already preoccupied about what the person wants to do, but it's controlled or maybe restricted by the physicality of events that are going on at the same time. So there you have an example of a dichotomy of sorts, where you feel like you want to do something, you have this idea, but in all reality, I mean, you're kind of stopped by circumstances. That's one issue of the energy field. But when we get to understand our inner voice and listen to it, it takes practice. It takes practice and polish until you can actually separate the mind from its current psyche, meaning you're just psychological inner dialoguing, to something that comes from some extraordinary outward place. People would call it the muse, inspiration, you know, a voice, your guide, your higher self, all these diverse synonyms. But in reality, the second stage is to recognize that what you're hearing is truly unique and genuine from just being psychological garble. It you know, that's fine, but it doesn't, psychological garble just usually doesn't go anywhere. It's like gargling and spitting it out. It doesn't go anywhere. You have to take this energy in. Let your ideas sink into your soul. Feel that if they do, and you activate and produce an action according to your ideas, then you know that you're hitting into the world of the inner soul, and you're transcending through the diversity or the dichotomy of your inner voice. You're getting to the essence of it. And sometimes it takes a deep channel to get there that's activated ultimately by your action. Action is very important in this regard.
So, tools for people to get in touch. I mean, you know, meditation, which I don't know. I'm kind of not exactly a proponent. I mean, meditation is good, but again, it can be confusing because,
Well, meditation, you know, there's two ways to look at meditation. It's a pause to not think,
but
it's a pause to ponder.
Exactly. So, you know, typically when people are beginning to meditate or start meditation in the beginning stages, you know, there's a lot of voices that come in because it's hard to quiet the mind.
Well, think of the suffix, meditation, medication. It's meditation is a form of medicine. It's medicine for the soul. So, you know, if we're going to medicate, that's usually the first layer of energy for the body. Sometimes it's the mind, if you're on psych pills or something. But then when you get into what goes beyond medication is meditation. Now you're getting not into the body, but you're getting into the soul, and you're trying to get your current brain to talk to your soul, so so that you have what? Consensus. You have wholeness. You have an agreement. It's like when you're sick and you're trying to get your sick self to talk to your healthy self so that your healthy self can convince your sick self to be better, and you use medication as your aid. Here you're using thought form, even if it is the transparency of thought, which is pure clearing your mind. That's the transparency of thought, is to have your mind cleared and not think of anything, which is a difficult thing, because when you're, as long as you're thinking of nothing, you're thinking. So I don't know, this idea of I'm going to clear my head out.
Right.
I won't think of anything, but you're thinking anyways. I mean, you know.
Well, at least, you know, in that the clutter in the mind has been cleared.
Yeah, the clutter,
you know,
has been
because,
cleared. The debris.
Yeah.
But in the essence, I mean, Stephen Hawking went crazy thinking about the concept of nothingness. It almost drove him mad. And I remember as a child, I would be like 6-7 years old and saying to my friends in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, read this article, but go ahead.
Yeah, I read this article. I go, God, can you? And then my friends who, you know, 6 or 7, I'm saying to them, have you ever thought of nothingness? I mean, as soon as you think of it, then it's no longer nothingness. And what was life like before the Big Bang, when it was just darkness? Well, the darkness, you have to consciously conceive of darkness for it to be there. But can darkness exist without consciousness? And I would go crazy. I remember laying on the grass, looking up at the sky, and going absolutely crazy. I thought there was something wrong with me to coming up with these ideas. But Stephen Hawking presented it, and he just wrote a 200-page book. Posthumously, that it's
posthumously.
Yeah.
Posthumously. It was after being funny, yeah. And after he died.
extra syllable. My tongue is rapidly going
deteriorating. So, it's not. It's there's a dichotomy there in the tongue.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
So he examines the concept: is there a God? Do I believe in God? And what is this? How do we define nothingness? Which it drove him, you know. I mean,
I think probably I thought of that a little bit later. I guess I wasn't as advanced as you, but probably in my, preteen years. I mean, for a 6 or 7 year old to think about nothingness is pretty. I mean, that's a pretty.
Concept. Well, it might have been an intense concept. It ultimately led me to a child psychologist, because my parents thought I was like way out there, so I don't know what good it did me, because that guy was full of nuts and bolts too that were scrambled all around his head. Didn't know how to deal with children.
Yeah, he was not good.
But you know, when we get into this idea of the dichotomy of the world, and what's interesting is that I studied child psychology extensively, and so in the course of my degree, I had to observe children, and you learn a lot about children, more than you almost do about adults, because the child is converging with the soul.
Right. There's so much. I mean, being younger, there's more connection.
There's a connection there. There's a connection there, but it's also diffused by the concept that the child is coming in totally fresh. But not really fresh, because we're all older souls. We all have this older soul. Some people in science would say, well, it's instinct. You know, we have this genetic code in our brain, and no matter what, we have instinct. The animals have instinct, humans have instinct, but then humans have this higher frontal lobe, this brain capacity that takes instinct and learning into something that reaches the existence of the universe, where the animals don't go. The concept of God, where the animals don't go. They may have an alpha, but they don't. Animals don't usually, except in folklore, consider angels and guides and God. I mean, when we look at our cat, we think there's spirits running around. Sure, they can see things, but they don't go. They don't turn around and go, you know, that's an angel. And God, that's God. They don't have that articulate sense. So So animals go on instinct, feeling, and a command performance of learning through imprinting and conditional learning and things like that, repetition. So, but there's also this seed of instinct that we also have as human beings that we think is coming from the primate zone, from evolving through time and space. So we have this brain capacity.
So the children are not so polluted by, you know, the mundane aspects of life and, you know, everything that needs to be done in the world and problems. So as children, there's more activity in these areas.
It's a clearer sense of looking at the soul. There's something in there about the soul, and there's something in there about the physics of playing, of play acting, that children reenact. Also, the two, we have to understand that the concept of God is a learned thing. Therefore, you know, without it, we wouldn't have atheists. So usually the concept of God is conditioned by our learning, our teachings, and then our experiences. You know, I don't believe in God. Oh, I do believe in God. To what degree?
Right, because you don't come in with an awareness of God.
You don't necessarily come in. So God is a sort of a learned concept in that terminology.
We're going to cut a little short today. We've got about 2 minutes. So if you want to wrap up, we can wrap up.
There's no way to wrap up, really.
No,
I mean,
there isn't.
We could wrap up by saying that the duality of the inner voice is the consideration of that. Is that you have to take in all the voices of who you are and exploring your past lives, exploring the origins of your soul, if you can, is a noteworthy thing, so long as you don't fall into delusion.
Okay, we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. Thank you, callers and listeners, and we hope to speak with you then. Bye-bye.